Welcome, everyone, to our show. This is the Forum for World Peace with Princess Diana. This is show host Marcia McMahon. We say with Princess Diana because both Princess Diana and John Lennon and the angels are overlighting our program. And I often bring through messages from Diana. This evening's show is a little different. We are starting our spring shows, and my focus this evening is going to be on the angels. And I know many of you who tune into the show know that I channel Princess Diana and John Lennon and George Harrison. We were just listening to a song that was channeled from George Harrison from Spirit entitled Something for Gossamer Wings. And I wanted to let you know that the creator of that song was Robert Murray. You can hear it on his website at www.thestarsstillshine.com. And Bob is actually hearing the music that some of these greats in spirit have been creating. I've been working collaboratively with Bob for years now, and I'm also working on this project with John Lennon, and what I'm doing is getting his messages and his lyrics to the song, and basically I'm going to be putting those together in a book to be called Notes from John at a later point in time. But you can pick up these downloads now from Bob's site, and he is somehow creating this music as he hears it from the Beatles, former Beatles, and then he puts it into kind of a thing called the Band in a Box. And that the sounds are just so phenomenal. We hear the harpsichord coming through from George's new tunes, and we hear all these various instrumentals. So it's all instrumental because, of course, we don't have their voices anymore. But John told me that the idea here was to eventually produce the lyrics and let the world sing in with his new songs about peace for Earth. And this couldn't be more important and more necessary, and I am, as I've told John, I'm greatly honored. The honor is all mine to bring in his wonderful sounds from spirit through the gracious offer of Bob Murray. And I want to introduce to you our guest, and then I'm going to go to some of my angel messages, and then we're going to interview most of the evening with Reverend Jane Feldman, who is an angel person. And Jane, welcome to our program.
Thank you very, very much for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm delighted to have you. I feel like I know you.
You
do such wonderful work with the angels. And we're going to be getting to your book, Angels by My Side, after I read some of my angel messages and another message from John Lennon. And I'm excited to talk about your book, and I think it's really a marvelous work. And I like all the things that you're into. It's just fascinating. So this evening's program is dedicated to the angels, and many people don't know that I actually channel the angels too, so I thought this would fit with tonight's show, and I'm going to be reading some incredible messages that I have from a group of angels known as the Heavenly Host. And these have been being given to me for the last couple of years now. Some of them are included in my book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, and they're also posted freely on my website. I have a new website, all newly designed, at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com. Do check it out. There's beautiful artwork. I'm also offering angel readings now. If you would like a reading and you have a question you would like it read on my show, you may email me at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com. And if you would like to sign up for a reading, there is a place on the new website on the index for sign-ups. If you can't find it, send me an email at dianaspeaks.com. And I want to read some of these because they're just so awesome. And I'm going to start with this one. This is what the angel spoke to me. This was some time ago now. I believe it was in December of 2005. And the angel spoke this to me. Oh, great one, we greet you with joy overflowing. Speak with joy overflowing your great message of peace over all the earth. Diana, the peacemaker, comes. She brings the leper the unloved, and those considered maimed and unclean. And she wipes clean the bandages on children, and makes whole again those who suffered. Rejoice, thou Holy One, that the proud see nothing where you are, for the humble inherit the kingdom of God, and the meek inherit justice, while the wise are confounded and go away unfed. The proud and aloof are many, fools all of them. They will not stand in the rays of the new sun day. For the new sun day, the terrible day of the Lord, cometh, and it brings changes upon the earth. Only the pure inherit the earth. Blessed are the feet of those who prepare peace upon the new earth. Alleluia, Sabaoth, Amen. Bring forth the new earth. Alleluia, Sabaoth, Amen. So, to interpret a little bit, because this is kind of a higher vibration group of angels that I channel, the angels, I believe, in this message are praising the work of Diana, and they're saying that she touches those, the leper, the unloved, and those who have been sent to spirit being maimed, some of them in violence, suicide bombs, and she is there as an ascended master among the angels, greeting those who depart our plane and pass over. It says here she wipes clean the bandages on children and makes whole again those who suffered. So I know this to be true because Diana had a great heart of love while she was here on the earth plane, and she continues to offer comfort and consolation to especially children who are the victims of the war. And this could be anywhere in the world, but I know she's watching over with a special intent on the Middle East. And then it goes on to say, the proud can see nothing where you are, for the humble inherit the kingdom of God. And these angels are also mentioned in the Bible. And if you've read parts of the Bible, you may have come across this kind of language. When I first began to channel this kind of material, it was totally awesome to me. And I find it extremely eloquent. I feel that the heavenly hosts are a group of angels that work possibly with Archangel Michael, and there may be some other Christed extraterrestrials in there. There may be other beings that are guarding our planet. And again, I haven't asked them for their identity because these people are more of a chorus of angels, if you will. So, Jane, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I kind of right about the identity of the heavenly hosts? Have you?
Yes, I totally agree. I totally support, you know, and the information is beautiful, you know,
oh,
that you're receiving and very inspiring. And I do agree with you that Archangel Michael is front and center at this time and inspiring us, you know, with our service. And in support very much of really continuing Princess Diana's service.
It is, and I'm so glad that the angels are praising her work because some people may be confused thinking that, okay, Princess Diana was just a celebrity person. She was just a person that cared about her talents. But if you look more deeply into her work with the landmines, you know that she gave her all and her everything to those children that lost limbs. And so I believe, and I know that this is true through other channeled writings, that she was lifted up as a great saint among us when she passed. Now, again, people will find fault with that idea because she had, you know, she had a full life and she was with Jody Fayed and different people in for a very conservative Christian tradition have scoffed at that idea that she's a saint or an ascended master, but I know that it's true, so I think God can use us right where we are, don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Reverend Jane?
I agree, and all of us are human. If you research any of the saints in any of the religions, you know, everyone's working out, you know, their human understanding. And Diana was the same, but she used her prominence and she used being seen by the world to make the world a better place. And that service and energy continues on. So that, to me, the word sanctus means blessed one. And she was and continues to be an incredible blessing.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I have a closeness to her, but I also want to say that I feel that we are sister angels and you're doing some great work. I would like to read your bio, if I may.
Thank you.
This is Reverend Jane Howard that we're speaking with this evening, and we're delighted to have her on our show. She's been working with the angels a number of years, and Jane is an interfaith minister, a popular lecturer, a workshop leader, and counselor, and has grown spiritually through her life experiences with the angelic kingdom. In Angels by My Side, Jane shares inspirational stories of the invisible made visible and the message that angels are right beside all of us. This is some of the things that have been said about Jane, truly an inspired writer and speaker. To be in Jane's presence is to feel the angelic spirit as close to you as your own heartbeat. That was from Sister Paula Matthews, BSJ, sculptor and author of The Tales of the Blue Wizard. And Jane is a noteworthy authority on the angels in the angelic realm, but beyond her knowledge is a wealth of vibrational love which pours out of her to all who see or hear her messages. And this is from Mary E. Shea, author of The Planets and the Solar Returns. And I want to add to these comments about Jane that her work is extremely diverse, and she works a lot with the angelic realm. She has a grasp on all the different angels and the correct hierarchy. Very few people can actually put them in the correct hierarchy. Jane feels a resonance with Archangel Michael, and she has a couple other books with the angels that have been published by the ARE Press, a very prestigious press with the Association of Research and Enlightenment. And she is a renowned world traveler and calls in the angels into her trips, and I find that so fascinating. So I wonder if you could then speak a little bit maybe about some of your world travels and how the angels have intervened to allow you to get to ancient sites, for instance, of the saints or angels. I was fascinated with your tale about Ireland, and I don't remember the details right now, but could you fill us in a little bit on some of that?
Well, one of the things that I'm inspired, I call them angel tours, because they are inspired by the angelic kingdom. And I want to say to everyone's listening that, you know, even though I've had the opportunity to travel, we really are to be blessings wherever we are, all right? I really have found by the angelic kingdom that even though I've been guided to sacred sites and particular places to blessings, we really are the sacred sites, the energy inside of ourselves. The angels have had me do work because I do have a zither harp. It's a little peace harp that I play. And the groups that I've gone with, that I've organized, we've gone to places where there have been some pretty bloody battles, let's put it that way, where wars have taken place. And first of all, we have blessed the land and the energy of the land, and we've blessed those individuals who have taken a stand in defense of peace. Of course, we would prefer, you know, that we could find solutions peacefully, but there have been situations. I've taken a group to Normandy Beach, where we bless the soldiers, the energies of those who made the ultimate sacrifice and gave their lives, because they were willing to stand up against that which was an atrocity, or which would not be, you know, a blessing for the children of the earth in the future. We've been to Gallipoli in Turkey, and there's just been numerous battlefields. I always say, you know, when you sign up, you know, for one of my tours, you know, of course you're going to get to experience nature and the beauty of the country, because all the world, you know, is exquisite. God's blessed us so much.
So, Jane,
and
we
see shrines as well.
But do you actually sponsor these tours?
Yes, I do. I organize them. I'm told by the angels where it will take place each year. All right.
Okay.
And then I get together, you know, a group. And what has this happened? It's been basically started in the 1990s. The people that I've brought together, we've become like a, you know, like you said, we're angel sisters. We've become angel family. And so they always, you know, kind of go and say, well, where are we going this year? And so there's been a group that, you know, maybe people will add on, but the core group is the same year after year. And we like each other's company. And one of the things I do emphasize is I write a lot about the arts, because the angels have inspired me to be a messenger, encouraging people to make time for the arts. The angels have said food will sustain you as a human, but the arts inspire you to be divine. So in my work, you know, with the, there's always, you know, I organize things where the arts are a part of it as
well. I would like to be a part of that, since I paint Princess Di and John Lennon and some of these
absolutely.
Other greats.
Well, I was drawn, you know, and the angels made me aware of you because of, you know, the prominence of the Peace Forum and the work, the continuation of Diana's work. And so everybody's, you know, it's all about service as far as I'm concerned, that we are here to be of service. And if people say, well, how do you describe the angels? I say they're service to God, and that they are cosmic cheerleaders for us, inspiring us to find our way and to find how we can be blessings, how we can be of service in our own backyard, or, you know, or traveling around the planet, you know, whatever the divine plan is for us.
Well, I just think, you know, some of your tales of travel were just fascinating, and I can totally relate to them, especially something I read about Ireland, and I had kind of a saint experience when I was touring through Ireland, and I had my watercolor pad with me, and I was touring this ancient site of Irish kings known as Clan MacNoise. Have you been there?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was painting, and I was with an Irish family and my husband at the time, and it was interesting because I completed this painting in between lots of rain and thunder, and we kept going in for coffee and coming back out, and I managed to complete the painting, and when I did, I looked down, and I noticed that I was sitting on these little ruins that were no bigger than the size of a small living room, and it turned out to be the actual site of St. Kiernan, who is one of the early founders, monastic founders, of some of the monastic communities in Ireland. And, you know, I was astounded that I had connected with the saint's energy and done the painting right on his on his church there. So, you know, I think things like that happen a lot when those of us who walk with spirit are so inspired by spirit, to have these sort of heavenly coincidences. And I know you've highlighted some of your own heavenly coincidences.
Well, I want to just add that I totally support you in that, because the saints, you know, are those who have gone before, you know, they've had their walk, their opportunity on the planet, and now it's our turn, as if the torch in some way, the light, has been handed to us. And so we are, a lot of times unknowingly, guided by our angel team, you know, by the divine, as you were, to go to that very special place, you know, with no coincidence, the divine wanted you to be where the saints had walked before, because energetically, it's now your walk, it's your path. And so you received a blessing. I truly believe the saints are universal, just as the angels. I honor, you know, I am an interfaith minister, and so I honor whatever religion people are called to personally. That's, you know, what peace on earth is all about.
And I noticed also in your book that you also pray for people, and you do a monthly prayer list, and you meditate and pray on a daily basis for others.
Yes, absolutely.
And how would people, if they wanted to submit a prayer request, would it just be at your email?
At the website, just go to Earth Angel, and it's the number 4, the numeral 4peace.com.
Uh-huh.
And there is a button they will find on the front page that will link them right to filling out their prayer request. And what I do, I call it Raphael's. I was inspired by the angels to call it Raphael's guest book. And I have a book that I put anyone's name in it, and I pray for them for 21 days, every morning and every evening. And I don't need to know what is going on in their life. God does. I just need to know that they're asking for support. And as the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So just let me know. Just email me and say, Janie, would you please pray for myself or for my family? And I just feel very blessed when
for all you listeners out there, I would tap into Reverend Jane and ask her to pray, and check out her website. Let me give the website. It's www.earthangel, and that's number 4peace.com. And she has a wonderful website with angel messages and a variety of different services. Now, on these tours, did you tell me in an email that you're actually going to the Dead Sea?
Oh, no.
How come I missed it?
Right. No, that would be that. Well, that maybe in the future, you're probably picking up a message. I love it. You know, to the wonderful shrine where the Dead Sea Scrolls are over in Israel. But what's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a number of the Dead Sea Scrolls that are on tour, which is, I love anything where there's energy. All right. We were very blessed some years back that there were 98 paintings of the Vatican that toured 5 cities of the United States.
Oh, the
and
angels.
They called the exhibit The Invisible Made Visible, Angels of the Vatican. And
mm-hmm.
I was very blessed because Baltimore was one of them, and I got to, you know, pretty much go. I went every week. And just
where are the Dead Sea Scrolls in Charlotte? Right
it's
now?
In Charlotte at the Discovery Center. And I'm pretty certain, you know, that people can go online. I think in the following year, I think in 2007, I think they're going to be out in San Diego. There's about 4 or 5 cities in the United States. And these are, of course, very sacred, you know, documents and ancient documents, and the energy that they're conveying to us is, you know, really with our faith. Their message of that which we've, you know, like Jesus said, blessed are those, you know, have not seen but believe. And so here's some very ancient documents that are, you know, verifying a lot of things.
Well, you know, I want to say and go in a little bit of depth with that.
Yes.
Because when I was in school, I did some research papers on the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I remember while I was researching them, I began to have very strange symbolic dreams of men walking around in the desert with robes.
I
finally figured out years later that this may have a connection for me for some past life thing. But that aside, I want to say that the Dead Sea Scrolls contain prophetic information about the coming of Jesus Christ. And the Essenes, who housed the Dead Sea Scrolls and lived in the desert at Qumran, were thought by, and are still thought by scholars today, to have been sort of a fountain place, and they did practice evolution, you know, ritual washings and such, and it is believed by many scholars that Jesus studied with them, and that Mary was a member, and that Mary's mother was a member of the Essene community. And whether or not that is corroborated, we don't know, but for sure they're a prophetic group of people. So I'm curious what you're going there for and what you're planning to investigate once you're over there.
I'm attending a conference, a Bible conference of really what I would say just brilliant researchers on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I always, you know, I encourage people, you know, to treat yourself every now and then, go to conferences where you put yourself in energy that I would quite frankly say I know it's going to be over my head somewhat, all right? But it stretches. You know, God wants us to stretch our mind. And so we do that and, you know, kind of pinfire some parts of my brain that have been used. So I am going to find out about the research. I know I'm also being there because of the energy. You know, it's as if relatives are coming over, you know, from Israel, and I have an opportunity to go down in Charlotte and to be with them and, you know, to stand
with
them.
But you're actually just going to Charlotte. You're not actually going over to the Holy Land. That's
no, not at this time. No, this
well,
is, you know.
Well, that's still very wonderful because you are going to be able to pick up, as you say, more information of a scholarly nature. And also you're going to meet people of like mind who have an interest in the Essene community.
I think
you mentioned
something
in your book that I want to refer to. There's a lot of information that you have that's quite scholarly about the Essenes. And what can you tell us about them that would perhaps corroborate the idea that Jesus was among them and took his training with them?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things in the Essene community, you know, that women were, you know, highly regarded and for, you know, for their wisdom and, you know, that which they brought. What I feel with whatever the research is, you know, be it on the Essenes, that I think there's no coincidence, you know, that when things are discovered, I really think that, you know, God orchestrates for us to find things. And the information around the Essenes for my own life found it important of community. It's the best way I can say it, you know, of being with people that are like-minded and that are focused on, you know, wisdom and, you know, service to the divine. And honoring the gifts, you know, because the one thing with these scenes is they worked very closely with nature as well, you know, respect, because it all represents God and gifts from God, and they would have daily prayers, you know, honoring all the gifts that God gave. So, and of course, as you said, the place that women have, that we're all important, you know, we're all holy women or holy men, child of the divine. I love Albert Einstein's quote, I want to know God's thoughts. Everything else is a tale. And in research of the Essenes, you know, I just found, you know, the importance of sacredness and sacred space in our lives. And so, to me, they're a community, you know, who's relevant in this day and age of the importance of, you know, walking Christ's path and being inspired by the divine.
Well, also, I think with the Essenes, as I understand it, they knew of the coming of the Messiah. They were the Jewish prophecy keepers, if you will. They were the ones like our Hopi Indians or like some of our people prophesy today, those of us who channel sometimes prophesy, sometimes Princess Diana has prophesied. Prophecy, you know, in a strict biblical sense is narrow, but prophecy in a wider world sense is very broad, and there's a lot of it. But the Essenes in particular had held ancient sacred, and, you know, knew of the coming of Jesus. And also, I believe they had the Ark of the Covenant among them, it is said, and that parts of the Ark of the Covenant were part of their secret, sacred initiation. And they
Can I just say, the angels have said to me that they were guardians of many things sacred that we know about and things that we do not know about. And I think the parallel energy, and I think you'll find this in your service, is that you are a guardian, all right? You're a keeper of the continuation of messages, not just from Diana, but, you know, from messages that you are still connected with people, you know, in spirit. And I feel people who are drawn and curious with the Essenes is because there's an inner God calling of that guardianship. And they did, like you said, they had things that they were guardians to. And we're finding that
and
out,
I
for
would
example.
Encourage our listeners to both read your book, Angels by My Side by Reverend Jane Feldman, and to look into the different writings of the Essene community known as the Dead Sea Scrolls, because you will find them absolutely astounding and revealing. And I think that some of them probably call into question some of the Catholic doctrine and some of the other stuff, and I think a lot of it was suppressed for years after, of course, it was discovered in 1947 by a shepherd, the Bedouin boy. But the scrolls have now been opened up to study among Protestant, Catholic, and Hebrew scholars, and they are written in Hebrew, but they're in a fragmentary form. So I know that they're housed in Israel in a special temple, and I assume this must be a pretty rare event to have them touring through the United States, because they're not in good condition. A lot of them are in copper scrolls. And even interestingly enough, the Essenes knew that they would be eventually wiped out and carefully hid those scrolls right before the invaders, whomsoever they were, came. And I believe they were destroyed around 70 AD, if I'm not mistaken.
That is what I agree. And again, isn't it interesting? I mean, like 1947 and... You know, and now we're getting to a time with, like, computers and things that they can be shared. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, you have to go to see the real thing, you know, over to the shrine, but it is. I think it's calling to people. It's calling people to kind of decipher, you know, the divine messages inside of each one of us.
And I think that those of us that are interested in prophecy or work with messages feel a kinship with the Essenes. I know that Princess Diana has mentioned the Essenes in another one of her channeled books, another lady that channels her, Rita Ida, and Diana refers to a past life as the mother of the Virgin Mary, Saint Anne. And, of course, I don't have that from Diana, but I confirm that the feeling on that is correct. And so it wouldn't surprise me in the least that Princess Diana could have been the grandmother to Jesus. So I think it's... fascinating that we keep on learning and discovering so many hidden spiritual secrets, because I believe this is a time of revelation, if you will, for mankind, for our world. Not only are we entering into a phase of great turmoil with the earth changes, but we are entering into an age of ascension, and with that we're receiving a lot of assistance from our guides in spirit, our angels in spirit, and I think all of us that are curious about this path need to explore it in depth personally. And one good way to do that is to receive an angel reading. Jane, don't you do angel readings as well?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit more about that and how you do them.
Well, my service with people, and I always say, you know, people will know if they're to connect with me. All right, they'll just know I'm just the next step. You know, there's many, many people that are here to bless each other. And what I do is I introduce people to the archangels that are around them, you know, to their guardian angel, so that they, by getting to know the angels, you get to know an essence of yourself, a divine essence of yourself. I work with people so they can have an understanding of their mission and purpose, and in the readings, a lot of symbology comes through, because I found in my work that symbology is a universal language. So that it's really, when I do the readings, sometimes I tape record them, because there's a lot of information and that I found that the angels are messengers of the infinite, and the divine gives to us eternally and just continuously, so that when, and I'm sure it's the same with you, when you do readings and people go and listen to the tapes afterwards, there's something that they didn't hear you say, but you said it, you know, and again, it was they hear it at the right time.
Well, let me correct you on that, and let me explain how I do my reading.
Okay, good.
We are almost at a time for a break, so I'm thinking maybe we will take our break and come right back, and I will explain a little bit about my angel readings, and we'll continue our
discussion. That's wonderful.
About the angels with Reverend Jane Feldman. Now, you would have been listening to some music from John Lennon. The song you were just listening to was Radical Dolphin. That was channeled from John through Bob Murray. And you can hear the songs on his website at thestarstillshine.com. And we are back with Reverend Jane Feldman. This is Marcia McMahon. You're listening to the Forum for World Peace. Tonight's show is on angels, and I was just about to explain a little bit of difference in the way that I do my angel readings. My angel readings are, I'm a clairaudience channel, so I hear from spirit and I write down what I receive. And if you were to schedule a reading with me, what you would do is send an email. You can send in your name and some questions that you would like me to address with your angel. And I go into a place of prayer and meditation and connect with my angels and yours. And then I write everything out because that is the way that I work. I do not make a tape.
Right.
I write it out and I put it on a piece of paper. And then right now I have a special offer on my readings. You can pick up the readings on the website at DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com. You can also read excerpts of the angel messages and some of Diana's messages as well. My book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, is available there. But I want to say that I will give you a handwritten angel reading, and then we also connect over the phone, and I will add to that in person on the phone. But I don't tape my readings. I write them down. So all of us who channel and work with spirit have our various ways of assisting the message to become more concrete in the listener's mind.
Right. And can I just say that I found that in the writing that you do, and mine is like through my voice, all right? It's all the same as you said. You know, we just do it, you know, however we're inspired to serve with spirit. Is that there's energies. There's angelic energies that are conveyed to the individual, you know, who receives or who is contracted with you to have the reading or the reading with me. And I wanted to say to your listeners, whether it's us, when you have this experience, first of all, you're getting a reading, you know, and there's going to be inspiration that we give for you, you know, from spirit. But you're also receiving a transference of healing energies, and you're receiving a blessing vibration. And that, you know, if you send them, you know, the paper or whether it goes across the internet, you know, for people just first of all to sit with it and just to allow it not just to be words, but to understand that, you know, this was heaven sent. This came from the angelic kingdom specifically for you. And so it is, allow it to be, you know, the blessing and the healing experience as well as informative and inspiring.
Exactly. And there is always a special kind of energy.
Yes.
And I find that in my readings with the angels, I very definitely get messages for people on how to help them overcome problems. And I think a lot of people want this help and want to overcome negative problems, but very often they don't know the right approach, or very often the angels will identify a negative pattern that they're not even aware of.
Right.
And then help them to identify that pattern and clear and cleanse and make their path smoother. So the angels are ever available to you through the use of readings. Another good thing to do is to connect yourself with God through meditation and prayer and begin to learn to receive messages. And in a few weeks, I'm going to be featuring Rose Campbell, who's going to be teaching us a little bit more on how to use your intuition and how to connect to spirit. So there are many gifted mediums. All of us work a little differently.
Can I just share one thing? My first book was called Commune with the Angels. And years ago, when I was doing a workshop based on that, someone had a misprint, and they called it Commune with the Angels. And I said, well, it's all divine, because the angels do give us different angles of looking at things, just as you said.
The angels
isn't that
angels.
I just absolutely laughed. But it is. And as you said, they give people a different way to look at a problem. You know, we sometimes look at it so, you know, front face word, and the angels will kind of give you that loftier point of view or coming at it from another angle. So I just totally support that.
You know, what I want to say, too, that I really love about your work is that it's very diverse, Jane. And you seem to have some similar interests that I do, in that I teach art history and I get into a lot of scholarly research about various periods in art. And I thought your research on icons and the use of the holy icon was brilliant. And I would like you to repeat that for our audience. Could you explain on the origin of the icon and the name of the person who first got the icon in the Bible? I thought that was really good.
Here's the belief that it's actually Luke, all right? That Luke was the first iconologist, and that he was actually doing a painting of the Blessed Mother. And so that there was, you know, this exchange. You know, he became one of heaven's artisans, so to speak. And that is believed to be what's known as the Black Madonna energy, that he was perhaps in Ephesus, or he was with the Madonna, and he did this sketching. And it became, you know, the first holy icon image. And the word icon, it really is referring how the eye or the energy of Holy Spirit is brought into heaven, into the art, and that people who behold it, it can become a religious experience between, they're not worshiping the art, you know, of course it is worshiping the divine, but that in some way heaven's windows open up. And so it is, of course, you know, precious Luke and the Blessed Mother.
Okay, now you mentioned someone else, though. There's another story that I was thinking of, and it wasn't Luke.
Okay.
Besides Luke, and I'm searching through it, and I'm thinking this was a desire on the part of someone who was living at the time of Jesus to receive a healing.
Oh, absolutely. This is a story about a king, all right, who wanted to... he had heard, thank you. You know, and just a point, you know, I always say I have blonde senior moments. Yes, he wanted to come, you know, see Jesus. He had heard about the miracles of Jesus. And, in fact, he had sent, you know, a messenger because he was very ill.
Okay, and I'm reading here in your book, this was King Arbogast of Edessa.
Excellent.
And this is the person I'm thinking of. This is the origin of one of the first icons.
One of the first icons, right. And that, in fact, you know, Christ sent this image of himself, you know, and that became, you know, the first icon energy of, with the cloth, the holy cloth. So, yes, that's actually, you know, the experience with the Christ.
All right, now, so it says here in your book that the features remained imprinted on the cloth, and Christ sent the cloth to Arbogast Agbar, who was then healed. And then from that, the entire tradition, including Luke's painting, which you mentioned too, the entire tradition of the Eastern Byzantine Rite of veneration of icons and the power and presence of the holy icon to heal.
And you'll
find...
this
is what they believe. This
right.
is not something that the Western Christian tradition accepts as much, but the Eastern tradition... even have stories of icons weeping blood and things like that. Have you witnessed any of that?
And they'll find in their homes that they have, you know, places of, you know, for sacred altars and for worship for it. And again, it's another way that the arts inspire us, and that in the practice of icon, it's been passed down, you know, century after century. And there's a specific way, you know, a practice and, you know, the method of creating the paints and the method of working with the wood and laying it down. So it becomes a ritual. I know that, you know, some of the iconists, you know, will actually paint on their knees in prayer while they're doing it. So there's this extreme reverence in the energy. And I just love, for if anyone ever has an opportunity in your cities to see an icon exhibit, because a lot of times the icons from Russia come on tour, you know, please, you know, just treat yourself, and again, just see it as a spiritual.
You know, the iconographers of the Eastern Byzantine Rite feel that they are being led and inspired by sometimes Archangel Michael and some of these others. But I have to also say I totally relate to that in my spirit art of Princess Diana, because I paint Diana and Mother Teresa.
I was going to say that about your art.
Well,
don't
you
find...
It's so neat.
I mean, that's the parallel energy. Don't you
parallel
find...
thing. I'm capturing the holiness of Diana or her beauty, and her essence and her spirit comes through as I'm doing the art. So there's a certain amount of faith in it. And it's no different than iconography. I feel I'm doing iconography, too.
Right.
And I've been told by various people that they have bought these paintings and that, you know, they feel Diana's presence with them more. So, you know, it's not like anyone is asking anyone to pray to it or make of it an idol, but to capture the energy and to convey the essence and the healing energy, the love that's in that particular picture, so that art can be a mode of inspiration. And again, the whole iconoclast controversy, and there's been different historical movements that would have wiped out icons completely from the Byzantine Rite. Thank God they didn't do it.
Right, and but, I feel, don't you agree that however people are called to get close to God, you know, again, if it be music, if it be art, prayer, meditation, as you were saying, that's what the people were doing. I mean, they were painting these, you know, so that they could use them in ritual and in services to feel a closeness to God. And that's what, you know, your service is to continue that. That when people hold your art, you know, they're getting close to the infinite.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I think highly of all the art that I've seen on your website, too. Now, I'm looking at these Hebrew words in your book. And before we close, we just have, let's see, about 5 more minutes. Can you believe it, Jane?
Isn't it fun? That's like, you're...
I can't wait to connect with you in person because I know that we'll get along. And I want to go with you on one of your chores. And I want you to email it after the show because I want to know what you're doing with this thing coming up this week.
Absolutely.
But I'm seeing that you are also scribing some holy Hebrew, such as what I channel with the Heavenly Host.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to read this holy Hebrew. It's printed in your book, but I recall getting the word Mount Zion in one of my channeled messages, and I'm seeing the word Zion, Zohar, Zion, Zohar, Zion, Zohar, and this is an angel blessing. What does the Zion mean?
Well, it is. It's coming from the source of fulfillment, all right, the Zion vibration, and so it is a blessing from the absolute, all right? Again, you hear the vibration of Jerusalem being the Zion
vibration. When I hear the word Zion in my meditation and prayer from the angels when they're speaking, that they're saying something. But it is not to be confused with Zionism, which is a form
right. No,
of
you're correct.
Radical.
It's an energy of, we're talking about the place that is the heart of God.
Okay.
All right. It's an energy that the angels have said that when we bless people, yes, there's traditional meanings to it. But when I use it in the prayer vibration, we're taking them to the place that is really where we all want to reside, right in the heart of the divine.
Not everyone who's tuning in. We were suddenly disconnected. And Jane, are you with me now?
I'm right here. Thank
Wonderful.
You, everyone.
I don't know how that happened, but we were in the middle of discussing the holy word Zion, and boom, I guess we've zapped out our telephone connection. So
we're always respectful of the energy, and we got a little energy blessing, yes.
Yeah, we got a special bolt of lightning from Mount Zion, I guess.
Right, that's right.
We got disconnected. So anyway, we're wrapping up our conversation. We were discussing the meaning of Zion, and we're almost really at time. And before we close, Reverend Jane, do you have an angelic blessing or prayer or something like that that you'd be able to read for us?
Yes. For everyone who's listening, first of all, thank you for your time. And I bless each and every one of you as the God thoughts that you are. And know that you are here to walk your talk. Archangel Michael blesses you with the energy of speak your truth, write your truth, own your truth, radiate your truth in all that you do, and dedicate and devote your energy, your resources, your life force to embodying God's truth. And just God bless each and every one of you abundantly. And don't hesitate to email me when you need prayer support.
Thank you so much, Reverend Jane. And I want to give my website and yours another boost. Reverend Jane can be reached at www.earthangel4.com. Peace, earthangelforpeace.com, and her email for prayer is earthangelforpeace@aol.com?
Yes, it is. Thank
okay.
you.
And I want to give you my website and encourage you to pick up a copy of my book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, fully illustrated. Also visit the online Diana Gallery where you can see quote-unquote icons of Princess Di, Mother Teresa, Portraits of Jesus, and John Lennon, and new messages are now posted from John Lennon. And my website is www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com, and check out all the great things that are available. You can sign up for angel readings with me by emailing me at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com. That's all small. You can write in your question, and we'll read it on the air. Or if you'd like to sign up for a reading, indicate that in the email. We've enjoyed having you so much.
Oh, it's been my joy. Thank
you.
Program.
And we're going to listen to a really cool tune to end our program, and this is going to be Eternal Opus 135. That is by... by Robert Murray, but actually written and produced by John Lennon in spirit, and it's been channeled in by the talent of Robert Murray on a band in a box. And enjoy the great music once again, and know that we are all eternal beings on a traveling together here on Earth. Let there be peace on Earth, and let it begin with me. Thank you, Earth Angel for Peace, James Feldman.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on our show, and return again at another time. Many blessings to all of you listening in our radio audience. Have a wonderful evening, and may the angels be with you also. Thank you, and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.